Welcome to the Smarter, Wealthier podcast, presented by Jags Mechanical, with your host, Spencer Dillinger, and co-host, Gabe Rogers. And here they are.
Welcome to episode 3 of the Smarter, Wealthier podcast. We are back here with Gabe Rogers and Mike Rogers talking about trades and how we started our...
And we're here with Spencer Dillinger, our late-night DJ-voiced host.
Yeah. This is part 2 of Mike Rogers.
So we're going to be talking today about how we started our Columbus branch. And we were in Cincinnati only at the time before this. So I'm going to let Mike Rogers tell a little bit about why we went to Columbus and then what the mindset was and the thought process behind going to Columbus.
Okay, so to recap what we said last week on the podcast, we were in a quandary as to giving away and teaching the trade to a bunch of guys who would have the potential, and we would hope that they have the potential to just go out and become our own competitors. And it's a quandary here in this industry that you're teaching guys to become your competitors. So it was... with that thought, we went into discussions on how to overcome that, and we did come up with a way. And I said Chick-fil-A. Well, the way Chick-fil-A does it is, I think you pay $10,000 now, but when I learned about it, it was back in 2000. It was $5,000 back then, and you pay $5,000 to own a franchise. You're basically the owner operator of one of those franchises. They take on all of the financial risk. They put the buildings up, they do the parking lot, they buy the product, they help you train all your employees. You actually hire your own employees, but they pay them. And then you run the business. You run the Chick-fil-A as best you can, and if there is a dollar of profit, and that's after the fees and all the things that Chick-fil-A takes out of it, if there is profit at the end, they split it with you 50-50. So again, I popped off the pillow one night. It's like, dude, that's the way we keep them from becoming competitors. Let's just make them an ally and make all of these guys partners in the business and give them the opportunity to do that. Now, again, not everybody is entrepreneurial. Not everybody has the risk tolerance to go out and start a business. There's no shame in being one way or the other. There are benefits to, I want to be an employee the rest of my life. There are benefits to that. There's the difference between superstars and rock stars. Okay. Yeah. A superstar is somebody that does have to be promoted and does have to do things on their own and does have to become the star of the show. And then there are rock stars. They are the guitarists and the drummers and the roadies and they are awesome. You need both of them to run a company.
You need the whole band.
Yeah, you need the whole band. And you need this guy that stands up front. But it's the guy that stands up front and that wants to go out and be an entrepreneur that we want to facilitate it for him. And if we can facilitate it in the house and become partners with them, come up with payment programs and ways to share the wealth around here, and I think we have, guys will be interested in doing that. And what happened in Cincinnati is we had a guy like that who really, really wanted to do something and really was knocking on the door. And so it almost became like, okay, we better do what we said we wanted to do, and which is always the case. We will do what we say we were going to do. But it came in such a short period of time. So,
this was not our first time going to Columbus either, or attempting to fulfill the needs of our customers in Columbus.
Oh yeah, we had customers in Columbus.
We've had customers for a long time that were pushing us that direction, and we didn't have a good plan in place to
take care of it. I remember we did a performance food group. We did I guess it's like a food show. I can't remember exactly what it was called, and we were set up to just like be out there, have a booth. And almost every person that was coming through as a restaurant was like, are you guys in Columbus? Do you guys work in Columbus? We need someone so bad to be in Columbus. And we're like, we could drive there, but like it's like it's gonna be expensive. So I remember that being like, we definitely have to do something. There's a big need.
I don't know who's gonna get a hold of this podcast, so I don't want to share all of our inside secrets of how we
our secret sauce. Well,
but we have a secret sauce that we use to do our business, and going 2 hours away is not a part of our secret sauce. Let's say that's not part of our recipe. Yeah. So moving to Columbus was always on the back of our mind, and it was either Columbus or Louisville. And in fact, the guy that we sent there really wanted to go to Louisville. He actually lived in Kentucky, and so it would have been an easier move for him to just move down the road, 90 miles, 100 miles. But we went to Columbus. Sorry about that, guys. We went to Columbus, but the way we did it is, again, I wanted to make sure that Jags Mechanical took all the financial risk. So the technician that was going wasn't going and wasn't going to lose his entire lifestyle. I didn't want him to. I wanted to have a dog in the fight, but it didn't. It wasn't going to ruin him. So what we did was, is this the way you want to go? Yeah. Is buying the. Okay, so what we did was we bought him a place to live for a year. We actually bought a piece of property, a house. It actually had a outbuilding on it, which was an added benefit, which was really the thing that kicked us over the edge. We probably wouldn't have moved as fast if this property wasn't available and we got a hold of it for a reasonable price with the outbuilding that would become our office for a year. And
yeah,
so
they had like a super shed, like...
It's actually a really cool space. Like,
I'm not sure how many square feet it is, but
it's probably over 1,000 square feet. I mean, that's a really cool space.
It's giant. It's like, got electric heat.
It's almost like 20 by 40, right?
Yeah.
It was a 20 by 40 shed, and it was the flooring in it, the walls, the air conditioning. It was like a perfect place for us to set up shop. We could hold interviews there. The only weird thing was it was in a residential neighborhood.
Yeah.
And so it was a little off the beaten path for guys to come in and do interviews. But when we told them that it was a new startup, it kind of made sense. Like I said, I knocked on my uncle's door, and he was in a basement office at his house. So, you know, we know businesses start. And I think entrepreneurially, I think this generation turning 18, 19 years old right now, probably the most entrepreneurial generation ever.
Yeah, I think a lot of the techs too, it's built a very entrepreneurial spirit about the branch, because for over a year they met in John's backyard.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you got six trucks showing up to pull into a driveway and park on the street, and you know, the neighborhood's probably thinking, what is going on over there? Every week there's all
week there's a new truck coming down the street.
And I should give you the picture. I took the one morning when there was like eight trucks parked in that parking lot and all over the street. And I took a whole video of that. We should put that up on the...
Yeah, that would be cool.
So we bought the house. So John got free living expenses for 1 year. So he paid no rent. He paid no house payment. And we did that just so that he wouldn't have that stress. Then started him in business. Obviously, we had some customers. We made some mistakes, and I think one of the mistakes was we had customers asking us to go to Columbus, so we automatically thought, as soon as we show up in Columbus, they'll come just falling in our toes and just beg us to come work for them. We were there 3 or 4 months, like, this is a struggle. What's happening? We had basically one or two customers that we were doing most of our business with. And Andrew went with John. And he didn't get the living expenses, but he was so close there that he on his own moved up to the Columbus area. And we basically folded him into the branch, which actually in hindsight was a good idea. We got a little bit further down the road because that happened. So I think the next time we do it, we might send two guys.
Yeah, having somebody to bounce ideas off of and just talk about.
And to just help you when you're on call too. I mean,
yes.
You don't have to be on call every single night. That's a lot going on.
Yeah. So that was a benefit that we didn't anticipate, and that was automatic. It happened, and God was good to us, and I think we'll incorporate that into our next move. At least I'm advocating for it. But at that point, he started. When we figured out that we weren't getting the customers, really all we did was start marketing to our customers and selling to our customers, and it didn't take very long for the spigot to become open. We just anticipated that they would automatically come, and we were shocked when they didn't automatically come, but it didn't take us long to get them to
recognize the problem and start working on the solution.
We recognize it and we started on the solution almost automatically. And I don't think it took us 2 or 3 weeks to get the phone to start ringing. And then we started, I think that was August of 23. And I think we had 20 to 30 applicants that year.
I think we were around 40 for the year.
For the entire company in 2023.
And then by the time we got to the end of 2024, we were at 1,250 and we're at 2,500.
1,254 was the number I just had it on my thing last week.
1,254 applicants by then, and really we...
Since June of 24, too. That's what was also pretty impressive.
And it's... I think that's one of the ways that we dealt with the sales issue was hiring, because one of the guys in Columbus, Niall, had a significant part in helping us get to the point we're at now, which is almost the opposite problem of having so much work that we're ready to hire and find experienced guys in the Columbus market. But having a lot of applicants really opens up the opportunity to hire really great people, because you can narrow your focus down.
You can start getting focused on who the quality hitters are.
Whatever we did to change that dynamic, that was a game changer. And the hiring process really has shown itself in Columbus tremendously. And that's been a part of it. What else could we talk about in Columbus? It's basically, Jags Mechanical North is all it is, and John really is in charge.
Yeah, and the cool thing about John, you know, starting a branch is also just the things that we didn't know that he discovered that we wouldn't have tested here, but in a new market with, you know, necessity changing the way that you do things.
I mean, one of the things that we learned in the middle of all that was what happens is, and I think it's confirmation bias on my part. Basically, I started this from $50. We went over that last episode. But when you're starting things, you totally forget, when you're talking about the successes, all of the struggles. You know, the successes override the struggles. Obviously, you struggled, but you forget about those when you're telling the stories.
Just like service calls when you're driving home.
About what?
Just like with a service call when you're driving home, it's suddenly the job wasn't
You just that forgot that, hey, man, I did jobs for barely profit. I did jobs for, you know, I did jobs I wouldn't have done or wouldn't do today that I did back then, and they were fine. I was fine doing them. And so when we told the story going up there, we were telling all the good wins. I'm telling you all the wins. This is great. All I did was this, and this fixed that. But what happened was, John's in the middle of, it's failing, because it wasn't failing, but it was harder than he expected. And I finally realized, you know why, John? Because all I'm doing is telling you the success stories. And so you're comparing your real life experience to all of my success stories. And I never told you about the 452 times that I failed on a daily basis, that you had to overcome, and you had to take jobs that you wouldn't have taken. And then, so all of these standards that we had for him, like all of our secret sauce, you kind of had to go, we're starting a company, go start a company. Now go do the things. And then you got to rein them back in, because once you start doing those things and you become successful, now we've got to start narrowing our focus.
One of the things that we changed the way we even talked last year was going back to our optimism, one of the things we changed in the way we're talking was, instead of saying of all the bad things, or like what's, you know, it's going bad, but do you have the confidence, was the word that we started using in the last year, of we want everyone to have the confidence that they can do it, that they can do this. And that's one of the things that John definitely picked up on. He had confidence no matter what. Once he felt supported and we were able to find all the issues, he had the confidence to be able to build something really cool.
I really want to give him props, because
shout out to John Beal.
Shout out to John Beal. Because I don't think with anybody else, I think it might have failed. Yeah, I don't think it would have failed. It would have just been harder. And it would have taken longer. But he has this optimistic. He's the most negative optimistic guy. He comes across as a negative guy, but he's probably the most optimistic guy.
He doesn't have a quit.
And he knows that it's going to become whatever he wants to make it.
And that's kind of what I was alluding to earlier when I was saying that he was able to do things differently than we did here, that we've now adopted some of those things here, like the training period for trainees. That was kind of born out of
a mistake.
The way that John was handling.
It was a total mistake, and it was a total thing that John did on his own. Basically, he was an entrepreneur, and he just ran that. But in hindsight, if he was an entrepreneur and did what he did, he would have been out of business. The only thing that saved us was the profitable 23. But nobody noticed it. Nobody knew he was doing it, and that's the good thing, is you are pretty autonomous up there. And so he was doing something that we didn't recognize until it showed up on the P&L statement. And that took about a month and a half to 2 months. And by then, the money was already spent. It was out there. And like I said, I don't want to give you all my secret sauce, but it was...
Well, I think the impact would have been less, you know, we built basically in that same spring that we started focusing on sales, had built the machine that brings in the applicants. So we were bringing John new people on a regular basis.
And we got him great people.
Yeah. But he's like, I don't want to lose these people, but I also, they're not ready to serve my customers yet. So the combination was bad.
What happened out of it was we had a way of training people that John did not follow. He followed his own thought process. And what happened was, yes, it put us in a slight financial pickle, but what came out of it was we learned a better way to train. His way was better than ours. And so...
And that's the great thing about what we do over here, just because as soon as someone recognizes something better, we always adapt it and create that as, okay, now this is the standard until someone comes up with something better. And hopefully one of these days we do.
Sometimes you sit in a meeting and they tell you, this is my idea, let's run the model and see how this works. And sometimes they just go ahead and do it. And we get the model in real life. And that was stressful.
Everyone has a plan until they're punched in the mouth. I think that's how the statement goes. And sometimes that's how, this plan works great. We gave you everything that you know about it, and then you get into it, and you're like, oh, crap, we've got to change about 90% of what we thought was going to happen.
Well, the cool thing is, too, the model would work the bigger that Jags gets, too. Like, going to a new city, you could do that with two branches supporting it. But when it's 50%, when it's just two branches and one branch is...
It's almost supporting the one while it's building.
When one branch is almost 50% of its guys are in training.
And remember, what we did a little bit later was we moved a guy from here to there. And we really gave John a great team with Drew, Gabe, and John.
Plunk
He's
Daddy.
A great team. Plunk Daddy.
Shout out.
And basically did a great job. But what we did was we raided the cupboard here in Cincinnati. And that really did have a stressful impact on our customers and our way of doing business. Again, the only people making mistakes... are people doing things, and we were doing things. And you could tell, because the mistakes were just racking up.
We were doing
As
stuff and things.
As this conversation unfolds, I'm reminded of that.
And so,
doing stuff,
I mean, it
and
wasn't
things.
Smooth sailing. What we hope, what we are hoping is, it's making us a slightly more cautious. I'm still excited to go to a new city, still excited to give another guy another opportunity. And we're thinking, but now we won't make as many mistakes this time. Or we'll make totally different mistakes, and they'll show up in a different way.
What's the Grant Cardone thing? We'll just have a whole new set of problems?
We're just going to work so hard that we give ourselves a whole new set of problems. And I would rather have a new set of problems. The problems from last year, I've had enough of those. I don't need those for the rest of my life.
Yeah. We'll have some new ones that are like, man, we can do without those too. One of these days we'll have a life with no problems. That'd be pretty cool. I think that's when you're 6 feet under. I think that's how that goes.
That's the day we don't have problems, we're out of business. Because this whole company survives because there are problems.
Absolutely.
So that's the way we did it. We gave him every opportunity, and now instead of him being a competitor, and he would be a daunting competitor, he is a phenomenal asset to this company and doing fantastic things.
Yeah.
Don't ask me for a raise, Leader John. You're not getting a raise just because I said all that.
So I wanted to ask this question because I know it's challenging. So, you know me, I like to ask the hard questions once in a while. If you had been in the shoes of a technician and offered the entrepreneurship program that we have going here at JAGS, what do you think, you know, instead of being told you had to pay for health insurance at that company, if you had been offered the opportunity to start a new branch, what's your response to that? You know, provided all personal things were in order for you to do that.
Okay, let's go back to Mike Rogers riding in a truck for, what was it, 16 years, I think. Being a tech for some other company. The number one thought process sitting in a red light on Ludlow Avenue up at UC on a 95 degree day was, is this going to be what I accomplish the rest of my life? Am I going to be a service tech for the rest of my life? And it was an overwhelming thought. It's like, man, I'm not learning what I need to learn to become one of the bosses. I'm not becoming anything. I'm a tech. And it got overwhelming. And I'm telling you that because it was a specific place at a specific time, but it wasn't the only time. And so if there would have been opportunities and
development and resources. Yes,
the resources available, I would have probably teared up and cried because it was what I was looking for. Here's the issue. The thing I was looking for, nobody could give me. It's not available. It's not available for somebody to give you. Here, I'm going to give you the answer right now. This is all I needed. The Bible says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally and upbraideth not. And the very next statement out of one man's mouth was, and right there's the library, and you don't even have a library card. He said, it's free. And one man said, could you deliver it to me? No, I'm not going to deliver you a library card. Go to the library and get a library card. All the wisdom you need is sitting there. Now, you don't know which books to read. So find out which books to read. But really, what you need is self-education. Education makes you a living. Self-education makes you a fortune.
And now it's worse. It's better to the point that you don't even have to go to the library. It's in your pocket.
Say, hey, ChatGPT, what's the books I should read this month for this thing? And it'll give you a list of them. It's kind of funny you said that. I had a conversation with Zach Paretsky this morning. Shout out to Zach Paretsky. You guys probably don't know who he is. He's a wealth advisor for Raymond James. We were talking about how easy it is to see the difference between leaders and not leaders real fast based on when there's something that needs to be done, who does it and who doesn't do it, and they're waiting for direction and picking something up. And it kind of goes right into that. As soon as you see something that, oh, this needs to happen, those guys jump right in and do it because they're like, hey, this needs to be done. They're they're doers. John is one of those people. I see this job needs to be done, doing it. It's an opportunity. And you, we see that pretty quick, and that's in light of some things that me and him seen over the last couple weeks. And it was just interesting to hear him say, talk about, hey, there's a library full of books. If you're interested in learning, all you have to do is go in there and get one.
Well, you could tell how old I am when I reference library cards. It's audible now, and it's not free. It's $17 a month. But you can get the free books on Audible, will get you in a direction. And if you read, this is what my mentor says, and this is a mentor I've never met. The man's dead, but all he did was read books or wrote books and offered seminars. Jim Rohn, R-O-H-N. But basically all he said was, which book do you not need? Which piece of information that's hidden in a book that's going to give you that piece of information that you need to get you over the next hill? And it's like, I can't. Now I have that information in my head, I can't not apply it. Because if I don't apply it, then I deserve to fail. And so if you have those type of, if you have that attitude, and again, I'm probably talking to 3% of humanity right now. I'm not talking to everybody out here. But if you're even the slightest bit entrepreneurial, learn and never stop learning. Obviously, it's one of our core values and it's what we want to do. I only want to hire these type of people. And again, if you're working here, because if you're not doing this, you're going to stay stuck and you're probably going to get frustrated.
And, I mean, there are lots of people that learn information and don't utilize it. I think that's one of the reasons that I came to Jags Mechanical initially was I had had other mentors and other leaders.
Tell that story.
Yeah. I had other mentors and other leaders that I had gone to and for coaching, and they were like, I see something in you. You should come and I'll tell you these books to read. And I would read books with, at the same time they were reading books, and I would come back the next time and be like, how's it going? You know, I'd get excited about the process of whatever was in the book and be like, how's that thing going? You know, that we learned in that book, you know, how to execute your strategy, you know, what, how's it going? How's the strategy going? And they'd be like, oh, you know, that's just a book. You know, I read the book. It wasn't really about doing what was in the book. And then at the same time,
it was about saying I read a book.
Yeah. And it was really shocking to me because you'd be talking to somebody in a high C-suite position saying, yeah, I read this book, but I'm not doing anything with the information. And then contrast that with Mike, who had been a mentor of mine for several years at the time. He would always talk about books. And so I was like, you know what? I noticed this trend. I want to ask and see. He didn't know he was being tested, but I was testing him. I wanted to see, like, what was going to be the difference. And I asked him, I was like, hey, that book that we talked about last quarter, was like, did you do anything with that? And I remember it was Profit First. And, you were immediately like, oh, yeah, I did this, this, and this, and I'm on this step, and this is how many bank accounts I've opened up. And it was just like everything had been done, and you were still excited about it, even though you're reading different books. And to me, that was just a huge contrast. And I was like, I don't want to be around people that read with no intention of actually executing.
They're a bunch of faith without works people.
Yeah. It's like, be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. I actually said this on a call I was on this morning with a couple guys, and I really do only have one fear. I have one fear. Now, I fear God, but the fear of living, I'm not afraid of drowning or fire or bullets or anything. What I fear is that I don't do what I know I'm supposed to do. And so if I'm given a piece of information, now not all of the information can be applied in every situation. So you got to pick and choose. You got to be yeah, discerning. But if you do get a piece of information that is usable and you know it will make you better and you don't apply it, to you it's a sin. And I just really, that's the biggest fear of mine, is that I've got a piece of information somewhere in my presence and I'm not applying it.
Well, that's kind of what makes leadership challenging too, is that you have to consistently be doing that. And consistently getting better and consistently executing on the things you already know. I had a young girl that has been asking me about leadership and leadership books, and I had recommended some to her, and she asked me this question the other day. She said, when do you know, or have you known, when you saw somebody else that they were going to make it as a leader? And I was like, well, that's a really impossible question, because the day that you stop doing the things is the day that you stop being a leader. There's no guarantee ever that you're going to make it. And I was like, you're taking a risk, because she knew me from a while ago, and I'm like, you're taking a risk by even asking me for advice that I'm still actually doing the things that made me a leader to you in the past.
And, yeah. And if I ever stop doing them, I'm no longer worthy.
It's not just an attainable thing.
Yeah, you don't arrive. Like, there is no arriving at I'm a leader now. It's, I don't even know what it all took. I couldn't even remember all of the things that it took, but it took all of them. And guess what? I'm not done. I mean, I'm in a position now of, what is it, visionary? And it's a whole new position. I don't even know how to act in this, but I'm trying to figure it out. But I know one thing. I'm never stopping learning. I haven't stopped reading books. And I'll figure it out. And we're figuring it out. The place is running better than what it did when I ran it. And that was there's the book, E-Myth. That you want to talk about a catalyst that made all of this happen. There's the one. 2009, read that book, and it said you don't own a business, you own a job, and you work for a maniac. Because you'll do things for this guy, me, myself, that you wouldn't do for any other boss. And he said the only time you own a business is when the business will run 100% without you being present. And we finally got there, I think, 100% of it. 100% this year, 2025.
So
we've tried it for like 7 or 8 or 9 years. We've tried.
Trial and error.
It was trial and error. I thought I had it. Go out, come back, fix everything. Go out, come back, go out, come. Even 2024, we did a tremendous amount of good things. But I would say I had to be here 25% of the time last year, because you guys were getting your feet up under you, and we were changing. We went to Columbus. There was a lot going on,
and we had a big cash influx. Shout out,
yeah.
Not going to say that name.
And we had some cash problems. Issues. And again, John changed the way we trained technicians, unbeknownst to us. And so it just became. But I'm 25% here last year. I'm 0% here this year. I was invited to come to the office to do this podcast.
You're welcome.
There's a lot of techs, I think, out there in the field, not just here, but at other companies too, that probably listen to podcasts and books and are learning. What would you say, or how would you encourage them to think if they have been doing this for a while and haven't taken that first step? Because I think a lot of people are in that
have been
situation.
Doing what?
Listening, educating, self-education. Maybe, because I think a lot of people that listen to podcasts already are doing some self-education.
I know you're asking him this question, but I use this statement all the time, and it's every person I've ever talked to in my entire life believes that if you go to the gym on a consistent basis and you exercise on a consistent basis, you'll be more healthy and you'll be more strong. Everyone believes it, but no one freaking does it. That's the difference. That's the one thing that you have to do different as a technician, if you're listening or educating yourself with something, it does you zero. You might as well just listen to entertainment if you're not going to act upon the things that you're learning. If you're not going to act on them, why even waste your time? Just listen to Pat McAfee show. Shout out. Or listen to Kill Tony or whatever it is that you listen to. Listen to something that's entertainment instead of education, because you'll enjoy it better. But if you hear something that's educational and you don't do anything with it, you're kind of wasting your... I almost feel like... I don't want to say it's wasting your time, because hopefully one day it clicks for you. But it's almost like you're wasting your time, because you should be doing something with it. That's the one thing I see across the board, especially from like younger people. I've heard a lot of people are like, oh, I listened to this thing. And I'm like, awesome. Did you do it? There's a big difference between hearing it and doing it. Sorry, I'm making my chair squeak.
If you asked me, and you just did, I know we're coming to the end of this, but let me try to get this concise. I think the most beneficial thing I've learned is that who you associate with is probably the number one thing. And here's how hard that is. It's not hard to get with good people. Those are easy to spot. Here's the problem. What kind of person are you? Is it somebody that they would want to hang out with? Number one. And here's the reason. Because of who you're hanging out with. It's your inner circle of friends. If you see these cliches, and they sound like cliches when you hear them. If the five people that are around you don't lift you up, you don't have a circle of friends, you have a cage. Now that's a cliche. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like something you'd see on a sign at Hobby Lobby.
Yeah.
The problem with those signs at Hobby Lobby is the freaking truth. If you are running around with people that are negative, I don't care how many books you read. I don't care how many books you read. You have to limit it. And here's what you do. It's your sister. It's your brother. It's your brother-in-law. It's an entire section of your family that you have to see them once a year and limit it to about 2 hours. Get in there, kiss grandma, laugh, eat your potato salad, and get out and get back to where you go. Do not spend time with them because they will drain you of every ounce of good energy you have in those 2 hours, and it'll take you a month to recover.
Yeah, and I think like...
God, that sounds harsh, but man, is it
true?
It's
true, though, and I do want to say just really briefly, because you mentioned a good point that people that are positive aren't going to want to hang out with you if you're negative, right?
If you're negative.
Not gonna associate. But I really would encourage people to reach out to people, because people that are positive and do have that right mental attitude, when you're reaching out, you're already showing them the type of person you are by reaching out.
No, yeah.
Like, that's a big
part. Oh, no. We want you.
Yeah, reach out.
But if every single time that we get you in a private conversation, we have to pick you up, really.
Not only that, but if you just don't take action. I mean, at
if
one
you don't
point,
take action.
At one point, I think, like, 3/4 into you and I talking, you were like, what are you going to do? And I was like, what do you mean? And you're like, you told me on the first day that we got together you wanted to invest in real estate and you don't have any property. And I was like,
I'm too young.
I don't have enough money.
I slammed on the brakes and told you to get out of my truck.
All the excuses.
I don't want to hear another excuse. And I think we met every single quarter, and by the next quarter you had already closed on a new property.
Yeah, I think that's...
Because it's the doing of the thing, not the talking about it. But if you want to keep a positive mental attitude, constant, never-ending improvement, what Gabe said, you know what to do, do it. But I'm going to tell you your associations. And really, label your associations this way. This is the most simple way I did. Red, green, and yellow. Red, yellow, green. Red people, I want to totally limit. I mean, have as little to do with them as possible.
People you're putting in the red.
People you put in the red category.
The alarms are going off when you're around them.
People in the yellow category, you have limited. Okay, you can have more. It's neutral. They don't lift you up. They don't tear you down. They're neutral. Man, people in the green, seek them out and become a green to everybody. I mean, I was in a Dillard's wasting time while my wife was shopping. I ended up in the shoe department. Me and this shoe salesman got in a conversation for 2 hours. Now, I would hang out with that dude. I'd seek him out to hang out with him. He was a shoe salesman at Dillard's. Phenomenal guy. Told him to put his application in here, and I think he did, and we're trying to get him through the process. But phenomenal guy. But if he goes back they're not lesser. They're just... If they're negative and they draw the energy from you, and you have no energy when you walk away from a conversation with them. It's like this conversation right now, I could do this until next Tuesday because this gives me energy. If it turns into stuff I don't want to do, I won't be back on this podcast. But this thing gives me energy. But you just have to be a part of it. And I know we're over time, so I'm going to shut up now.
No, I think it's great. And, I mean, we've talked about a lot today. We've talked about how we started our Columbus branch. We've talked about the effect of a positive mental attitude, not just on being a tech or a business person, but transforming your life, basically, by surrounding yourself with people that think like that.
Yeah, and just pray for my wife because the statement says you've become a product of the five people you spend most time with, which is 12-year-old, a 10-year-old, and me is three of those five, so she's definitely in trouble.
So, yeah.
Yeah, but the 12-year-old and the 10-year-old are the greatest humans on earth.
All right, so that is it for today. We're going to come back and talk more next week. I wanted to put this out here because we haven't fully established every site that we're going to be on, but if you're listening to this, there is a way to follow us and subscribe to keep up with the podcast as more episodes come out. So we will be producing this weekly, and if you're interested or you like what you heard today, please like, follow, and subscribe.
And leave a comment. Good, bad, or ugly.
Also, if there's things that you would like to hear about or questions you have for anyone on this podcast, we'd love to hear them. You can comment those questions below. So.
See you next time.